A Story Publishing presents Everyday Voice Routines, 4 time-box drills to speak with clarity and influence at work prologue. In a sleek conference room high above a bustling city skyline, a mid-level manager named Alex stands before a video screen, heart-pounding as the executive team logs in from across time zones. The agenda is critical: pitch a process overhaul that could save the company months of wasted effort. Alex's slides are impeccable, data sharp as a blade. But as words tumble out, peppered with ums, rushed sentences blending into a blur, and a vague close that leaves the room silent, the opportunity slips away. A colleague's polite nod masks the unspoken truth. Great ideas die in muddled delivery. This scene, repeated daily in boardrooms and virtual calls worldwide, captures the silent crisis of modern professional life. Set against the backdrop of today's global workplace, where remote teams span continents and decisions hinge on fleeting Zoom exchanges, this audiobook unfolds in the present tense of ambition and adaptation. It draws from a rich tapestry of research and practice, spanning cognitive science, rhetoric, and organizational behavior, all honed for adults eager to elevate their voice. Here, eloquence isn't mere flourish. It's the bridge between thought and impact, rooted in timeless techniques refined by figures like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, whose measured fireside chats calmed a nation in turmoil, and modern communicators like the psycholinguists Herbert Clark and Eve Fox Tree, whose studies reveal how pauses shape understanding. Alongside them, envision the everyday professional like Alex, or the surgeon relying on crisp checklists to save lives, as distilled in a landmark 2009 New England Journal of Medicine trial. These exemplars, Roosevelt for cadence, Clark and Foxtree for the science of speech flow, the surgeon for structured persuasion, and Alex as the relatable every person, illuminate the path ahead. At its core lies a paradox. In an era of endless information, why do so many brilliant minds falter when it matters most? The stakes are high. Careers stall, innovations languish, collaborations fray. Because clear, persuasive speech demands more than instinct. It requires mastery of foundational elements like prosody, the rhythmic melody that guides a listener's ear, and ethos, the credibility that earns trust without overreach. These concepts, woven lightly into the narrative, form the bedrock. Prosody chunks ideas into digestible beats, while ethos anchors arguments in quiet authority. Yet the urgency pulses beneath. As workplaces accelerate, those who speak with precision rise, while others fade into the noise. What if a few targeted routines could transform hesitation into influence, turning routine updates into catalysts for change? This audiobook invites you to step through that doorway, promising not quick fixes but durable tools, drills to steady your voice, evidence to understand its power, and vocabulary to sharpen its edge. By journey's end, you'll notice the subtle shifts: a pause that commands attention, a phrase that seals agreement. Pause now on this reflective edge. Imagine your next high-stakes moment, words flowing with the calm force of a well-rehearsed symphony. What might unfold if your voice became your greatest ally? End of prologue. The promise is simple and specific. By the end of this part, the listener can run 4 core routines on their own: breath, posture and pacing, anti-filler and concision, persuasive frameworks, and a weekly practice plan, each time-boxed, reproducible and measurable by recordings and brief peer feedback. Think of these routines as scales for the voice, small, repeatable patterns that build control. The drills favor mirror practice, tongue twisters, and short impromptus. The scripts model credible tone, steady pace, and a clean ask. Progress is tracked by what the microphone and a colleague report, not by how confident the speaker feels in the moment. We begin with breath, posture, and pacing because voice stability, intelligibility, and perceived authority flow from these basics. In 2 to 3 minutes of guided breathing, 2 minutes of alignment, and 5 minutes of pacing work, the listener learns a steady exhale, an open, balanced stance, and a moderate cadence with purposeful pauses. The synopsis is direct. The body sets the sound, the breath sets the line, the pause sets the meaning. A pause, in practice, is punctuation for the ear. As a concise anchor, a 2017 review in Human Neuroscience links slow, diaphragmatic breathing to reduced arousal and steadier voice control. The review aligns with long-standing clinical guidance that posture and breath support articulation. Broadcast historians note that Franklin Roosevelt's radio, Fireside Chats, used a measured cadence and shorter lines to convey calm during a tense era, a pacing approach still taught for high-stakes updates. In courtroom and parliamentary recordings, experienced speakers place audible commas, brief, unhurried pauses, before key clauses, which makes their reasoning easier to follow. This section is general information, not medical advice. Discuss decisions with a qualified clinician. A 3-minute breath ladder trains diaphragmatic control. 1 minute of silent nasal inhale to a count of 4 and relaxed mouth exhale to a count of 6. 1 minute of the same pattern while speaking single sentences on the exhale. 1 minute alternating 2 sentences on 1 breath, then a reset. As the exhale steadies, sentences carry to the period without strain and the voice sounds grounded rather than squeezed. A 2-minute alignment reset prepares posture. Feet under hips, knees soft, hips stacked under ribs, shoulders released, chin level, crown tall. A gentle sway forward and back, find center, then stillness returns. A 5-minute pacing drill builds chunking by marking a printed paragraph with slashes every 5 to 7 words, and a double slash, where a longer pause serves emphasis. The speaker reads aloud while keeping the exhale steady and the jaw free. A 1-minute authority tone test explores pitch. The speaker reads 1 line in their habitual pitch, then a half step lower with a relaxed larynx. If the lower version feels strained, the habitual pitch wins. If it feels grounded and clear, the lower variant becomes the new home pitch for statements, while questions keep a lighter contour. A 2-minute mirror check measures effect. The speaker delivers 2 sentences to their reflection, eyes steady for 1 thought per eye contact. The recording, played once, confirms whether final consonants land and whether the pause lives where the new slashes sit. Breath is fuel. Posture is the frame. Pacing is the path your words walk. A short model passage now lets the listener hear the cadence that this section trains. The scene is routine, a project update to a mixed team. It runs a little under 2 minutes when spoken at a measured pace. The team sees steady progress and the plan stays on track. The new release is scoped, the risks are listed, and the next 2 sprints are staffed. The update has 1 purpose, to align action for this week. First, the data pipeline. The connectors are built, and the test set loads without errors. The remaining task is index tuning to shave a small delay from the hourly refresh. That work finishes by Friday morning. Second, the dashboard. All core charts render on the staging site. The accessibility pass flags a few contrast issues. Design has fixes ready today, and engineering ships them by midweek. Third, the pilot group. 10 users have access, and 5 already signed in. Their notes focus on labels and the onboarding screen. A quick rewrite makes the labels plain, and the screen needs 2 clearer steps. The team drafts both changes today, then watches sign-ins over the next 2 days. The ask is simple. If you lead a pilot user, please block 15 minutes on Thursday to review the revised onboarding. If you manage a downstream team, confirm your data window so we set refresh times that suit your hours. The goal for Friday is a clean, quiet release that looks the same to an early riser and to a late-day reviewer. If we hold a steady pace and leave 1 breath between ideas, the meeting runs short and the work runs smooth. Building on this foundation, we now tackle anti-filler habits and concision because listeners track ideas better when sentences land cleanly and pauses replace verbal tics. The synopsis is pragmatic. Awareness reduces structure reduces wandering, and trimming reduces cognitive load. Filled pauses, vocal hesitations such as or are planning signals. Training a calm pause makes them less necessary. As a compact anchor, a 2002 study by psycholinguists Clark and Foxtree shows that and often mark planning difficulty and can cue listeners. The study helps explain why a brief silent beat can carry the same planning value without clutter. The record beyond the study is consistent. Comprehension research and plain language guidance associate shorter, concrete sentences with easier processing, and workplace experiments with script planning and recorded feedback reduce disfluencies and increase recall. In practice, speakers who measure their fillers for a few weeks often cut them by half simply by raising awareness and installing a beat of silence. Toastmasters clubs even assign an ah counter at meetings to tally fillers, a small accountability device that nudges cleaner speech without shaming. The 1-minute tap to pause drill sets a tactile cue. the speaker rests a finger on the desk, and whenever a thought ends or a hard word begins, the finger taps once while the mouth stays shut. The mic records that small beat of silence, which later replaces most ums. A 3-minute filler audit builds awareness. The speaker talks on a light topic, plays back the recording, and tallies each filler. The second pass uses a 2-beat rule: 2 silent counts between sentences, 1 count before complex nouns, and the tally drops. A 2-minute sentence trim applies concision. The speaker takes a 4-sentence paragraph and conveys the same meaning in 3 sentences by removing redundancy and swapping abstract clusters for concrete verbs. Trimming a sentence is like cropping a photo. Keep the focus, remove distractions, and the subject becomes clearer. A 1-minute elevator template fixes structure. 1 line for the problem framed from the listener's point of view, 1 line for the value, 1 line for a brief proof, and 1 line for a clear ask. If time remains, a final line names next steps with a time marker. A 2-minute tongue-and-tip warm-up aids crisp consonants. Unique New York, Red Leather, Yellow Leather, and Digital Diligence Delivers run 5 slow reps each, with the lips and tongue moving fully and the jaw loose. A 1-minute mirror line checks endings. The speaker repeats 1 sentence 3 times, clipping final consonants clearly. The finger tap marks the pause that follows. The listener now rates a recording by 2 measures: fillers per minute and words per sentence. The goal is fewer fillers and shorter average sentences without flattening tone. Prosody, the rhythm and melody in speech, stays alive by varying stress and pausing, not by adding extra words. A sample passage now demonstrates a 1-minute elevator format without fillers and with an ask. It suits a moment in a hallway or a quick call. Our team can cut onboarding time for new analysts without changing your budget. Right now, they spend a day and a half setting up accounts and hunting for the right data. A light checklist and an auto-provisioned workspace turn that first day into an hour and make the second day hands-on with real metrics. We saw this pattern last quarter with a small group, and their manager logged an earlier first insight in week 1. If you have 15 minutes this Thursday, I will walk you through the steps, show the draft checklist, and outline the quick safeguards. If you like the fit, we can run a pilot for 1 week with 5 analysts and confirm the time saved with a simple before and after log. With cleaner lines in place, we install persuasive frameworks so that clarity gains carry into influence respectfully and ethically. The synopsis is straightforward. Structure helps audiences follow and act. Credibility, emotion, and logic each play a role, and a clean call to action focuses the close. Classical terms remain useful here: ethos, pathos, logos. Credibility, emotion, and logic appeals. For a practical anchor, a 2009 study in the New England Journal of Medicine found that a short, ordered surgical safety checklist improved outcomes by clarifying steps. The study illustrates how explicit next actions raise follow-through. Communication findings align. Messages that establish credibility, connect to audience concerns, and supply reasons and evidence perform better, and adding a specific, low-friction next step increases compliance without coercion. A compact framework guides the 5-minute rehearsal. Minute 1 states the problem as the audience feels it and anchors it to a shared goal. Minute 2 lays out options and names 1 trade-off. Minute 3 presents the recommended path with 1 piece of evidence and 1 risk with a mitigation. Minute 4 ties the outcome to what the audience values: speed, reliability, equity, cost control, and names what will be visible when it works. Minute 5 states the ask, the time box, and the first checkpoint. An alternative fast template fits short slots. What, so what, now what? Each in one tight sentence. A credibility line earns trust without overreach. Based on last quarter's pilot, sounds stronger than vague claims. Emotional relevance comes from concrete stakes, not theatrics. A customer who waits, a colleague who repeats work, a missed window. Logical support uses 1 comparison or 1 small baseline rather than a number cascade, which keeps cognitive load manageable. The voice shifts for authority by narrowing pitch range slightly on the recommendation and relaxing into a warmer range on the shared goal, a pattern commonly associated with perceived steadiness in leadership voice research. A sample passage, about 1.5 minutes, when delivered at an even pace, models the full 5-step frame in compressed form. The current review process slows releases and makes quality harder to guarantee at the same time. We all care about confidence on Friday, when a change goes live. Right now, we spend interrupts on late fixes and still discover issues after the fact. Two options stand out. We maintain the existing path and add more manual checks, which costs time and diffuses ownership. Or we move three checks earlier, automate two, and appoint a single reviewer per domain. I recommend the second path. In a small trial with one domain last month, earlier checks caught issues by midweek, and the team closed them without overtime. The main risk is the learning curve for the new reviewer role. We reduce it with a short guide and a buddy system for the first two cycles. What this buys us is simple: steadier Fridays, fewer interrupts, and clearer accountability. The work is visible in the calendar and in the release note, where each item lists its reviewer by name. The ask today is to run a two-week pilot in two domains, starting Monday. I will share the guide by noon, set up a daily 10-minute stand-up, and publish a short checklist. If the two pilots show fewer interrupts by the second Friday, we adopt the process broadly. If not, we return to the current flow with clear notes on what blocked us. To sustain these gains, we convert the techniques into a weekly plan that fits real calendars and keeps improvement moving. The synopsis is concise. Spaced practice beats cramming, specific goals beat vague intentions, and tight feedback loops beat intuition. The listener receives a simple schedule with short daily drills, two recordings per week, and one live check with a colleague. Think of it as interval training for speech rather than a single marathon session. As an evidence anchor, a 2006 meta-analysis in Psychological Bulletin shows that spaced practice outperforms massed practice for durable learning. The meta-analysis dovetails with goal setting and deliberate practice principles that emphasize clear targets and timely feedback. A repeatable week looks like this in practice. On Monday, a 12-minute session opens the cycle. 3 minutes of breath ladder, 2 minutes of alignment, 3 minutes of tongue twisters, and 4 minutes of pacing with marked slashes. The mic records a single paragraph at the end. On Tuesday, a 12-minute concision session trims one paragraph and runs the tap-to-pause drill, then captures a 30-second elevator using the one-line template. The speaker tallies fillers and notes a single improvement target. On Wednesday, a 15-minute framework session rehearses the 5-minute structure, 1 minute per step, then a 1 minute cool-down review to circle any sentences that ran long. A quick recording captures the ask. On Thursday, a live 10-minute check with a colleague or peer group uses a simple rubric: pace steady, fillers low, ask clear, and yields one suggestion. The speaker returns the favor. On Friday, a 12-minute consolidation session repeats breath and pacing, then reads the Monday paragraph again to compare. The speaker writes one line on what changed. Over the weekend, a light 5-minute maintenance keeps the habit: 2 minutes of breath ladder, 1 minute of tongue twisters, and a 2-minute impromptu on any household object. The plan scales down or up by halving or doubling each slot. The order remains. Progress is tracked with two numbers: fillers per minute and completed asks per week, and one note on tone. A simple rule holds the schedule. When time is tight, do breath and one paragraph. When time opens, add the framework rehearsal. A final model passage for this section simulates a weekly status opener that folds in the plan's habits: measured pace, concise lines, and a clear ask, so the listener can copy the rhythm. Here is the state of the week, with a short plan and a clear request. The product demo is ready, the data cleanup finishes by Wednesday, and the customer walkthrough sits on Friday morning. Every step has an owner and a checkpoint. Today, design reviews the last two screens. Tomorrow, data validates three edge cases. Wednesday, the team does a quiet run in the staging room to test the handoff between steps. The voice stays steady and the pace stays even in each session so that we hear gaps without heat. The plan is light but firm. If a task slips, we mark it in the channel and shift one person for 1 hour to clear the block. If a risk appears, we name it in one sentence and propose one fix, then pause. The request for you is simple. Join the Wednesday run if you own a downstream task, and bring one sentence that states what good looks like on your screen. By Friday, we will have a demo that speaks in plain terms, lands without filler, and shows the work with calm confidence. The drills now sit in place: breath, posture and pacing, anti-filler and concision, persuasive frameworks, and a weekly schedule that keeps practice light and regular. Building from practice to principle, the next part turns to the research archive to explain why these routines work, where evidence is strong, where it is mixed, and how culture and context shape what audiences hear. We open with career returns because the workplace rewards clarity in visible ways. Hiring managers screen for it, teams run faster when they hear it, and leaders are judged through it. This section is general education, not individualized financial guidance. Consider your circumstances, or consult a fiduciary, someone legally bound to put your interests first. The synopsis is plain. Clear, concise speech changes how others allocate opportunities and attention, and that accumulates into better roles and steadier influence over time. As a concise anchor, the 2023 Global Jobs Report from the World Economic Forum ranks communication among the top skills for hiring and advancement. Leadership perception research echoes the point by linking vocal clarity and steady pacing to judgments of competence and trust. Think of spoken updates as the interface for your work, the way an application programming interface, API, exposes a clear spec. When the inputs and outputs are obvious, the integration goes faster and fewer calls are needed. The practical implications from the report and the leadership research are straightforward. Treat every update and ask as a deliverable with an explicit next step and a time box, a fixed duration with a clear end, because managers act faster when they know what to do by when. When minutes are scarce, shorten meetings by shortening sentences and using pauses instead of fillers. The impression is of control rather than rush. Record brief segments and track two numbers, fillers per minute and completed asks per week, because external measures reflect how others experience your professionalism more reliably than how you feel. A quick historical vignette reinforces the point. In safety-critical fields such as aviation and surgery, checklists and standard callouts evolved because terse, structured communication reduces errors. The workplace analog is an equally clear, time-bound request that makes action easy. A short sample narration lets these points breathe. It runs for just under 2 minutes at a measured pace. The team's work earns attention when people hear what it buys them. Hiring panels tell the same story. They look for clear framing, calm delivery, and a specific ask. That pattern appears again in industry reports on the skills manager's reward. The path for us is straightforward. We tighten our updates, we keep the cadence even, and we ask for one concrete action with a date. The change is not cosmetic. When a request names the task and the time box, others move sooner and we avoid second asks. When sentences are short and the pauses are clean, the room hears judgment rather than noise. In practice, that helps in three places. In promotion packets, where peer feedback often mentions communication. If colleagues can quote your crisp asks and steady briefs, those lines appear in the packet. In cross-team work, where people are busy and want to know what you need this week. A clear request lands on a calendar, a vague one does not, and in leadership moments when pressure rises. A measured voice that carries the thought to the period signals steadiness, and steady people receive larger scopes. We will track two simple measures. The first is fillers per minute in short recordings, which drops with practice and signals control. The second is completed asks per week, which ties speaking to results. As those numbers improve, opportunities follow, not instantly, but predictably enough to be worth the deliberate effort. With career stakes in view, we turn to cognition to explain why breath, pacing, chunking, and trimming help listeners follow and remember. The synopsis is direct. Attention is limited. Working memory, the mind's short-term workspace, holds only a few chunks at once. And prosody, the patterns of rhythm and intonation, guides listeners through structure. Clean pauses and shorter sentences reduce cognitive load and improve recall. One anchor frames the evidence. A 2001 working memory paper by Nelson Cowan argues that the system holds about four chunks. Psycholinguistics reviews show that prosodic phrasing and pauses help listeners segment speech and attach meaning. Together, the paper and the reviews explain why one idea per sentence and audible commas lift comprehension. If a document uses paragraph breaks to keep ideas distinct, prosody is the spoken equivalent, the white space the ear can hear. Three practical shifts flow from that record. Speak in manageable units, one idea per breath, so the listener hears clear chunk boundaries. Use brief, unhurried pauses before complex nouns and at transitions. The ear treats those beats like punctuation. Prefer concrete verbs over abstract clusters. They lighten the load on working memory and leave more capacity for reasoning. A small, real-world vignette underscores the stakes. In emergency dispatch recordings used in training, the clearest calls sort key facts into short bursts, address, condition, action, which makes it easier for responders to act without asking for repeats. A sample narration now models a memory-friendly briefing that relies on chunking and prosody. It runs for about 100 seconds when read at an even pace. Here's the update in four clear pieces. The goal is a quiet release on Friday. The risk is an integration gap between the new dashboard and the older data feed. The plan is three steps we can see on the calendar. The ask is a short review window on Thursday. First, the goal. A quiet release means two things: no late-night fixes and no surprises for downstream teams. You will know we met it because the release note is short and the on-call page stays quiet. Second, the risk. The new dashboard reads from an older feed that sometimes lags. That lag can hide fresh data for an hour. We can reduce but not eliminate that behavior this week. Third, the plan. We move two checks earlier in the week, we add a visible timestamp to the dashboard, and we create a single point of contact for questions. Those steps live in the calendar and in the checklist. Fourth, the ask. Please hold a 15-minute window on Thursday afternoon to scan the dashboard with the timestamp visible. If you see a mismatch with your source system, mark it in the channel and tag the point of contact. One idea sits in each sentence, and a clean pause sits between ideas. That spacing is deliberate. It lowers the chance that a detail pushes an important point out of working memory. You should leave this update with four chunks: goal, risk, plan, ask. If those four travel with you, the meeting did its job. Building on the cognitive picture, we turn to persuasion fundamentals to connect structure and ethics. The synopsis is steady. Persuasive messages work when credibility, emotional relevance, and logical support combine with a clear call to action. In practice, trust is earned with modest claims and concrete proofs. Emotion is engaged through human stakes rather than theatrics, and logic is delivered in tidy comparisons or baselines. A brief glossary helps. Ethos means credibility, pathos means emotional relevance, and logos means logical support. One practical anchor illustrates the pattern. A 2009 clinical trial in the New England Journal of Medicine found that a short, ordered surgical safety checklist improved outcomes by clarifying steps. The trial shows how explicit next actions raise follow-through. The analogy is a small bridge. You need a stable bank on each side and a clearly marked path across. If any element fails, people hesitate to cross. Applications are close at hand. Open by naming the audience's concern in their terms to signal alignment. Offer one proof that fits the room, such as a short pilot or a respected external benchmark, and state one risk with a mitigation to project balance. Close with a specific, low-friction next step and a time. This directs energy without pressure and links speech to action. A documented vignette strengthens the lesson. Hospitals that adopted structured checklists did so not because of slogans, but because a clear sequence of steps, a named role, and a recorded outcome made it easier for teams to comply and to learn. A brief demonstration compresses ethos, pathos, logos, and a clean ask into about 90 seconds. Everyone in this room cares about two things on release day: confidence and sleep. Confidence comes from seeing the right checks in the right place. Sleep comes from not fixing surprises after hours. Our past month tells a clear story. When checks stay late in the week, we find issues when energy is lowest and context is thin. When we move checks earlier, teams close gaps with a clear head. We tried the earlier pattern in one domain last month and saw a calmer Friday with fewer interrupts. That is the credibility line, not a grand claim, just a small local result. The emotional stake is human. Nobody wants their week to end with a preventable scramble. The logic is practical. We have two options. We add more late checks and accept longer cycles, or we move three checks earlier, automate two, and name a reviewer for each domain. The second option is better for confidence and rest. The risk is a short learning curve for the reviewer role. we reduce it with a compact guide and a buddy for the first two cycles. Here is the ask. Start a two-week pilot on Monday in two domains. I will publish the checklist by noon and set a 10-minute daily stand-up. If the pilot yields a visibly quieter Friday by the second week, we adopt it widely. If not, we roll back and keep the notes on what blocked us. That is a clear path that respects your time and speaks to what you value. To finish the evidence tour, we address debates and open questions so listeners know where to be cautious and where to keep experimenting. The synopsis keeps two lenses in view: claim world on one side, what trainers, platforms, and charismatic voices often assert, and the public record on the other, what replications and careful reviews show. Between them, sit open questions where results depend on culture and context. One anchor sets expectations. The replication record in social psychology since the mid-2010s has tempered strong claims about quick, nonverbal fixes. The same body of work notes that narrative effects vary by topic and audience, and that imaging studies on verbal fluency show brain changes with practice without directly prescribing specific drills. In claim world, storytelling is said to always win. The public record is mixed. Narratives often boost engagement and can aid recall when they match the audience's goals. They can also backfire when listeners see them as manipulative or when stories invite counterarguments. The open question is scope. Which decisions are better served by a clean table and which by a brief, relevant tale? In claim world, a lower voice is a ticket to authority. The public record shows that some studies find slightly lower-pitched voices rated as more leader-like, but effects differ by culture and by gender, and overemphasis on pitch can amplify bias rather than reduce it. The open question is how to teach presence without reinforcing narrow templates of who sounds like a leader. In claim world, a power pose can switch on confidence. Replication efforts report smaller and less reliable effects than early studies suggested. Any posture effect that remains appears modest and likely mediated by self-perception more than by measurable performance. The open question is simple. Is time better spent on posture for breath support and alignment, the mechanical pathway to steadier sound, than on expansive poses for a momentary mood boost? In claim world, brain scans prove that practice rewires speech. Imaging work does report changing networks during verbal tasks after training, but the record does not tell a manager which drill to use on Tuesday. For that, behavioral measures like fewer fillers and clearer asks remain the practical compass. Skepticism is healthy here, not because authorities are ill-intentioned, but because institutions have incentives to package certainty. A pragmatic posture is to adopt low-regret habits with consistent benefits, slower pace, shorter sentences, explicit asks, and to measure progress with listener outcomes rather than promises of instant charisma. After replication efforts reshaped several popular psychology claims, many training programs updated their materials by emphasizing practices that are observable and teachable. That shift aligns with the routines already in hand. A short narration now applies the two-lens method to a common claim about storytelling at work without heat or hype. It runs for about 100 seconds. The training market often promises that a story will carry any message. That is the claim world. A powerful anecdote, a hero's journey, and a transformation at the end. The pitch lands because stories are easier to remember and more pleasant to hear. The public record is more careful. When a story maps to the audience's goal and leaves room for their judgment, engagement rises and the point travels. When a story feels bolted on or treats listeners as props, it triggers resistance and lowers trust. Reviews show effects that move in the right direction on average, but the range is wide and the edges matter. Here are the open questions that face a manager. In a safety briefing, does a vivid story improve compliance more than a concise checklist with a clear next step? Sometimes it does when the story anchors a risk in a human frame. Sometimes it distracts from the steps and muddies what to do on Monday. In a design review, does a story about a customer sharpen focus, or does it pre-decide the conversation? Again, it depends on fit. The practical answer is not to pick a side once and for all. It is to carry both tools and choose with intention. If the decision hangs on values or trade-offs, a brief story can surface stakes. If the task is procedural or time-sensitive, a clean list and an explicit ask may serve better. Measure the outcome you care about, recall, compliance, or speed, and let that result, not the promise of a panacea, shape what you do next. The section closes by tying the research back to the routines. Career returns follow because people who speak clearly earn trust and remove friction. Cognitive gains follow because chunking and prosody reduce load and lift recall. Persuasion works when credibility, emotional relevance, and logic converge on a clean next step. Debates sharpen judgment, reminding us to favor practices with steady benefits and to be wary of quick fixes that flatter the ear more than they change outcomes. With that foundation in place, we turn to language itself, a short, curated vocabulary that fits inside these frames without sounding performative, paired with micro-practice so the words stay crisp and useful in real work. Now we turn precision language into a working kit, organized by the moments professionals face most often. The words are chosen for utility, defined in plain terms, and practiced aloud in short prompts that fit the routines already in place. Think of this shift as upgrading your tool belt. The drills from earlier are the handles, the research is the metal, and the words you will practice now are the sharpened edges that make work move. First, we focus on negotiation and influence. The synopsis is simple. Neutral, precise words reduce friction, make movement visible, and preserve relationships while advancing interests. A concise anchor frames the evidence. Reviews in organizational behavior over the past decade show that early anchors, the first numbers that set expectations, shape outcomes, and that explicitly labeled concessions foster reciprocal movement without raising defensiveness. Consider a documented pattern from the reviews. In salary negotiations, precise opening offers often steer the final agreement higher than round figures because the initial number becomes the yardstick for the rest of the conversation. The takeaways are practical. Name conditions clearly to keep options open. Signal reciprocity to encourage fair exchange. Use neutral terms for power and constraints so people hear the problem, not a posture. Labeling concessions is like keeping a change log in software. Everyone can see what moved, when, and why. A brief passage now introduces 5 high-leverage words for negotiated settings, followed by a short micro-practice. Concession means a give you make to move a deal forward. Example, we can make a pricing concession on volume if the term extends to 12 months. Leverage, lev-i, names a usable advantage or resource. Example, our on-site support is leverage when uptime becomes a board concern. Viable, v-able, means capable of working in real constraints. Example, a 2-phase rollout is viable with current staffing. A single cutover is not. Contingent, means dependent on a specific condition. Example, this discount is contingent on consolidated billing by the end of the quarter. Reciprocal, cool, signals a mutual step. Example, we can add training credits if there is a reciprocal extension of the pilot by 2 weeks. Micro-practice starts now. Say one sentence that uses contingent and viable in the same breath. The extended warranty is contingent on a viable installation plan. Then, label a concession out loud. Here is a concession on delivery times, offered to close today. Finally, make reciprocity explicit. In return, we ask for a signed order by Friday. That brief pattern turns movement into clear agreements rather than vague goodwill. Before moving on, ask yourself, if someone replayed your last negotiation, could they point to each concession the way a reviewer spots track changes? Next, we serve analytical clarity. The synopsis is direct. Concrete terms tame ambiguity. Defined comparisons reduce debate over definitions and keep attention on interpretation. One anchor opens the record. Government plain language guidelines used across public agencies emphasize that well-defined terms, such as baseline and variance, improve comprehension and judgment. The guidance aligns with cognitive research on working memory summarized earlier. A quick historical reminder underscores the cost of sloppy terms. NASA's Mars Climate Orbiter was lost after a unit mismatch between pound force and newtons, a vivid example of what happens when teams do not agree on a baseline and measurement frame. The takeaways build on earlier cognitive framing. Choose one baseline so people compare like with like. Separate spread from trend so disagreements do not hide in vocabulary. Mark rare values as outliers without dismissing them. They may be errors or signals, and the word keeps both possibilities in view. Baseline is like zeroing a kitchen scale before weighing ingredients. Variance is the difference between a day's average temperature and the swing between morning and afternoon. A short narration now installs 5 words for analysis that travel across domains with a micro practice at the end. Baseline is the starting level for comparison. Example, the baseline is last quarter's average response time. Variance VA means the spread, not the direction of results. Example, variance dropped after we standardized handoffs. Outlier names a point far from the typical range. Example, that spike is an outlier tied to a batch job and should not drive the target. Robust means a result holds up across methods or conditions. Example, the finding is robust to different samples and still appears when we change the threshold. Ubiquitous means widespread or present almost everywhere. Example, mobile access is ubiquitous among our users, so forms must render cleanly on small screens. Micro practice begins. Speak a 2-sentence brief that uses baseline and variance. State the baseline, then what changed in the spread. Add 1 line that treats an outlier respectfully. We flag the outlier, review its cause, and leave the core trend intact. Close by naming 1 robust result and 1 piece that is not yet robust. These small distinctions prevent long meetings from circling vocabulary rather than decisions. Take a breath and notice how specifying a baseline instantly shrinks the room for confusion. Third, we center on persuasive framing. The synopsis is steady. When the language around feasibility, scale, and fit is clear, audiences act sooner and with less resistance. A concise anchor situates the approach. A decade of field trials from government behavioral insights teams shows that concrete, time-bounded asks paired with feasibility cues increase response rates without pressure. The request feels doable. The takeaways map to the framework already practiced. Feasible narrows claims to what can be done now. Scalable keeps the future honest. Synergistic has a specific use when 2 parts together yield more than the sum, and should be reserved for clear, demonstrable complements. Pragmatic signals a bias for what works. Paradigm shifting should be rare and only used when the underlying model truly changes. Overuse erodes credibility. If you need a metaphor, think of synergy as overlapping 2 lenses to bring an image into crisp focus. The combination does more than either lens alone. A concise sequence now defines 5 framing words with measured examples and a micro practice. Feasible, easable means doable with today's constraints. Example, a 2-week pilot is feasible with current staffing. Scalable, scale means able to grow without a drop in performance. Example, the process is scalable to 3 regions because it automates identity checks. Synergistic means the combination outperforms the parts. Example, customer feedback and usage logs have a synergistic effect. Together, they reveal both desire and behavior. Pragmatic means oriented to workable steps rather than ideals. Example, the pragmatic choice is to ship the core feature and add options after usage validates demand. Paradigm shifting means a fundamental change in the governing model. Example, real-time translation that preserves tone across languages would be paradigm shifting for global support. Micro practice follows. Deliver 1 ask that uses feasible and time. 1. It is feasible to ship by Tuesday if we narrow scope today. Then test synergistic with restraint. Name the 2 parts and the extra lift they create. Close by, replacing paradigm shifting with a tempered alternative such as material or meaningful, unless a model truly changes. This habit preserves trust and keeps power words powerful. As a quick check, ask, would a skeptical colleague agree that the mechanism of the synergy is visible and testable? 4th, we turn to diplomacy and respect. The synopsis is clear. Acknowledgement and fairness language raise psychological safety, the shared belief that candor is safe, and make hard messages easier to hear. 1 anchor locates the benefits. A 1999 field study on team psychological safety links specific respectful language to higher learning and performance. Subsequent applications in safety critical settings report more speaking up and fewer preventable errors when structured. Respectful check-ins become routine. The takeaways are usable on Monday. Praise work without hyperbole by naming what is commendable and what is exemplary. Use candid to mark directness without aggression. Keep collegial as a tone marker for peer interactions. Bring equitable into resource and schedule discussions to signal fairness as a shared constraint, not a personal preference. Consider collegial language as the referee on the field. Visible fairness lowers friction and keeps the game moving. A short passage introduces five words that protect relationships while keeping standards visible, with a micro-practice prompt at the end. Commendable means worthy of praise for effort or ethics. Example, your handling of the outage was commendable, clear updates and no blame. Exemplary, implore, means a model others can follow. Example, the incident report is exemplary in structure and judgment. Candid, did, means honest and direct without hostility. Example, I want to be candid that the current draft does not meet our accuracy bar. Collegial, cool, means cooperative and respectful among peers. Example, let's keep this collegial and focus on how to get the work to spec. Equitable, etul, means fair in distribution or process. Example, we need an equitable on-call rotation that accounts for time zones. Micropractice begins. Say one line of praise that uses commendable, and then a second that uses exemplary with a specific reason. Follow with a candid sentence that names one gap and one next step. Close with a collegial ask framed around equitable effort. To keep this equitable, can we rebalance tickets so each region carries a similar load? This vocabulary lets standards and respect stand side by side. Pause for a moment and notice how the tone softens when the fairness word appears. People lean in rather than brace. With the four cohorts in place, we close by synthesizing how to deploy these words inside the habits from earlier parts. Scenarios make the fit concrete. In a pricing meeting, contingent, viable, and reciprocal keep tone neutral while moving toward closure. In a metrics brief, baseline, variance, and robust cut-through ambiguity, and ubiquitous makes a design implication immediate. In a leadership update, feasible, scalable, and a carefully justified synergistic frame proposals as workable and valuable. In performance feedback, commendable, exemplary, and candid let praise and standards coexist without mixed signals. Constraints matter. Overusing charged terms like synergistic or paradigm shifting dulls their meaning and can sound performative. Use them only when you can show the mechanism or the model change. Culture matters as well. In some settings, candid can be heard as abrupt if unsupported by context. Add one line of care to carry the tone. The main implementation pitfalls are predictable. Dropping new words into long sentences blunts clarity. Keep the lines short and place an audible comma before the term so it lands cleanly. Using praise words without specifics reads as flattery. Attach a reason. Borrowed jargon without a shared definition invites mismatched action. Favor concrete examples. If in doubt, one clear metaphor or concise case can do more than a stack of abstract nouns. Actionable takeaways, stay tight. Pick one cohort per week and practice five words in short recordings using the elevator frame or the five-minute persuasive structure. Pair each word with a single reusable sentence that fits your role and rehearse it until it sounds like you. Use a spaced repetition app to recycle the words on a schedule. And test yourself by speaking them in context, not just recognizing them on a list. Track whether the words change outcomes, fewer back-and-forth messages, faster agreement, cleaner handoffs, rather than how sophisticated they sound. Blend the vocabulary with breath, pacing, and concision so the words ride on a steady exhale and clear pauses. Eloquent speech develops the way any craft does, by running small, repeatable patterns that compound. With these terms placed inside the routines already installed, the listener now has a practical, ethical way to speak with precision, earn trust, and move work forward. Thank you for choosing Astro Publishing.